Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300.
William and Catherine, you have chosen to be married in the sight of a generous God who so loved the world that he gave himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Just a little bit of a sermon we're going to be reviewing here, probably one of those more instantly famous sermons, if people were actually listening to the sermon and not watching all of the pageantry and pomp that surrounded it, take their eyes off the dress and off of the coaches and off of all of the parades and the festivities, and actually listen to what was being preached very briefly during the royal wedding this last week. Well, if you didn't hear it, if you were paying attention to the dress and the pageantry, we're going to be reviewing that sermon by London Bishop Richard Chartres, who occupied the pulpit and preached at the royal wedding last week. It's typical Issues, Etc. sermon review, and that means every sermon we review, we apply the same diagnostic. What's the basis for reviewing these sermons? Well, Jesus himself tells us what proper Christian preaching ought to be. At the very least, he says, it is the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That is quite clear when he sends his disciples. He says, it is necessary, it is written, that the Christ should suffer and die, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. With that command, with that commission, Christ empowers his church to go and preach, not just what any preacher wants to preach, or even what the occasion might seem to call for the preacher to preach, but to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That means Jesus needs to be mentioned. That's the first part of our sermon diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? As you listen to this brief sermon from the London Bishop, Richard Chartres, listen for explicit mentions of Jesus. Keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned in the sermon. Now, if he's mentioned, you can go on to the second part of the diagnostic, which is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Simple grammatical question. Is Jesus the one doing the verbs? Is he running the verbs in this sermon? Is he the one doing the doing? And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then ask yourself one more question. What are the verbs? Listen very carefully. What is it the preacher is telling you Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? That's the diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Are they the verbs of modern psychology? Or of are they platitudinous verbs about a Jesus who cares and loves, kind of ethereal feelings that Jesus might have for you? Or is this the Jesus who lives and suffers and dies and rises again on the third day for us sinners? That's the diagnostic. The sermon was preached, obviously, at the royal wedding in Westminster Abbey, the wedding of William and Kate, by London Bishop Richard Chartres.
Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. So said St. Catherine of Siena, whose festival day it is today. Marriage is intended to be a way in which man and woman help each other to become what God meant each one to be, their deepest and their truest selves. Many people are fearful at the prospects for our world. But the message of the celebrations in this country and far beyond its shores is the right one. This is a joyful day. It is good that people in every continent are able to share in these celebrations. because this is, as every wedding day should be, a day of hope. In a sense, every wedding is a royal wedding, with the bride and the groom as king and queen of creation, making a new life together so that life can flow through them into the future. William and Catherine, you have chosen to be married in the sight of a generous God who so loved the world that he gave himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, now, if you're following along in the diagnostic, that is an explicit mention of Jesus Christ. He had mentioned God before one or two times. That's not that uncommon for just about any sermon to mention God. You're not quite sure what God many of the preachers are talking about, but we're talking here about an explicit mention of Jesus Christ. And there is, I guess we could say there is here an allusion so far in the mention of Jesus Christ to something of the gospel, something of those verbs that Jesus ought to be doing among us. He said there, you have chosen to be married in the sight of a generous God who so loved the world that he gave himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The allusion there, of course, is to the famous John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, this is a mention of Jesus, God who gives Jesus, gives himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, this is a great example of one of those kind, so far, one of those kind of sermons where if you're a Christian and you know the gospel already, you know that what God did when he gave Jesus Christ would give him over into death on the cross for us sinners, then you read or you hear something like this, God loved the world so he gave himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, in an entirely different way than someone who is not familiar with the explicit gospel of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for us sinners, will hear those words. This is a God who simply gives himself to us, a self-giving God in the person of Jesus Christ. This is, as I've said of other sermons, one that is packed with Christian code. Part of it is for the sake of brevity. This has to be a short sermon. He's not in charge of the service, right? He has a privilege of standing here to preach in front of probably hundreds of millions of people, if you count the whole television audience. So he needs to be brief. Could he be more specific? It's good that he mentions Jesus, that God who gives himself in the person of Jesus, but is there more to it than that?
And in the spirit of this generous God, husband and wife are to give themselves to each other. And spiritual life grows as love finds its center beyond ourselves. Faithful and committed relationships offer a door into the mystery of spiritual life, in which we discover this: the more we give of self, the richer we become in soul. The more we go beyond ourselves in love, the more we become our true selves, and our spiritual beauty is more fully revealed. In marriage, we are seeking to bring one another into fuller life. It is, of course, very hard to wean ourselves away from self-centeredness. And people can dream of doing such a thing, but that the hope should be fulfilled, it is necessary that a solemn decision is made, that whatever the difficulties, we are committed to the way of generous love.
We'll come back to this on the other side of the break, our sermon review of the Royal Wedding Sermon preached by London Bishop Richard Chartres at the wedding of William and Kate. We might have time to take a phone call or two, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your reaction to the Royal Wedding Sermon at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. He moved on from Jesus Christ rather quickly to talk about marriage and the bride and the groom and our self-giving. We'll see what else the good bishop has to say after this.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only Son. Hey, preacher man, give me. His body, give me His blood.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're reviewing the Royal Wedding Sermon preached by Bishop Richard Chartres. So far, he has mentioned Jesus. So far, he has alluded to the gospel. By that, I mean, if you already are a Christian and know the gospel message, you're going to hear tones of it in what he said so far. This is a very important thing. People walk out after hearing a sermon that mentions Jesus a lot but never actually gets to the cross, to shed blood, to the sacrifice of his life laid down for us sinners. They hear lots of nice things said about Jesus, allusions to what Jesus has done for us, but no explicit mention of it. They will walk out, they'll say, I heard the gospel. The question they really need to be asking is, did he preach the gospel? You may have heard it because you filled in the gaps. You may have heard it because you did the preacher's job for him and filled in where the stuff that he left out. Did he preach the gospel? Remember, Jesus doesn't say that the gospel should be heard in all nations. He says it should be preached in all nations. The onus lies with the preacher to preach the gospel and not with the listener to fill in and do the preacher's job for him and fill in where the preaching of the gospel is lacking. So he's moved from the self-giving of God in the person of Jesus Christ very quickly to the self-giving of man and wife in marriage.
You have both made your decision today. I will. And by making this new relationship, you've aligned yourselves with what we believe is the way in which life is spiritually evolving and which will lead to a creative future for the human race. We stand looking forward to a century which is full of promise and full of peril. Human beings are confronting the question of how to use wisely the power that has been given to us through the discoveries of the last century. We shall not be converted to the promise of the future by more knowledge, but rather by an increase of loving wisdom and reverence for life, for the earth, and for one another. Marriage should transform as husband and wife make one another their work of art. It is possible to transform so long as we don't harbour ambitions to reform our partners. There must be no coercion if the spirit is to flow. Each must give the other space and freedom. Chaucer, the London poet, sums it up in a pithy phrase: "When mastery cometh, the god of love anon beateth his wings, and farewell, he is gone." As the reality of God has faded from so many lives in the West, there's been a corresponding inflation of expectations that personal relations alone will supply meaning and happiness in life. This is to load our partner with too great a burden. We're all incomplete. We all need the love which is secure rather than oppressive. We need mutual forgiveness in order to thrive.
Now, he does mention their forgiveness, although he really has moved so far from the God who gives himself in the person of Jesus Christ, that previous mention of Jesus Christ, that it's hard in any way, I think, for the hearer, or even if you're reading the text, to connect that forgiveness to the person of Jesus Christ. He doesn't make that explicit. Now, he's mentioned Jesus. What has he not mentioned about Jesus? He's talking about God who gave himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you can unlock the code there and say, oh, he must be talking about God gave his son into death for the sake of a sinful world. But he hasn't said that. You may have heard it, but he didn't preach it. Not yet. So he will mention Jesus one more time. And this time, Jesus as example.
But as we move towards our partner in love, following the example of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is quickened within us and can increasingly fill our lives with light. And this leads on to a family life which offers the best conditions in which the next generation can receive and exchange those gifts which can overcome fear and division and incubate the coming world of the Spirit, whose fruits are love and joy and peace. I pray that all of us present, and the many millions watching this ceremony and sharing in your joy today, will do everything in our power to support and uphold you in your new life. And I pray that God will bless you in the way of life that you have chosen, that way which is expressed in the prayer that you have composed together in preparation for this day. God our Father, we thank you for our families, for the love that we share, and for the joy of our marriage. In the busyness of each day, keep our eyes fixed on what is real and important in life, and help us to be generous with our time and love and energy. Strengthened by our union, help us to serve and comfort those who suffer. We ask this in the spirit of Jesus Christ, and we all say, Amen.
All right, there's the sermon. Short, sweet, platitudinous. He said a lot of nice things about marriage. He did speak some truths. Did he speak the truth necessary for a preacher of the cross and of the gospel? Michael in Northport, Alabama says, I read the homily, and it sounded like a bunch of God talk babble. Tanya says, I liked it and pulled a quote or two away from it, and I'm going to try and apply them to my marriage. Too many couples today think it's all about them and not about the teamwork aspect of marriage. Now, what he said about marriage is not untrue, and he did talk about cooperation and mutual forgiveness and the other being one's work of art and not putting too high expectations on your spouse. Those things are all true, and all of those things are, perhaps helpful as advice for marriage. But remember, this is a Christian preacher standing in a Christian pulpit, Is the gospel just something that we should do when we have an opportunity here? Is Jesus Christ just someone we toss in as someone who gives us a good example of how to treat our spouse? Andrew in Wausau, Wisconsin said, I thought it was pretty straightforward. And it was straightforward. Was it straight to the point? That's what I want to know. Beth says, more to the point, crossless, Christless. The dress, on the other hand, was perfect, says Beth. Smartest listeners in radio. Josh in Nebraska says, seemed pretty solid to me. My pastor said, with few exceptions, it could have been a Lutheran service. Josh, you might want to check with your pastor again. The service itself, liturgically, was quite beautiful. The preaching. Did it have the cross? And if it's a Jesus without his cross, is it the Jesus that saves sinners? I assume that Kate and William and the royal family and all of their esteemed guests who were gathered there, I assume that everyone who watched on television are all sinners. I mean, I'm one. If that's the case, what does the preacher need to be preaching? Kate says, not the Kate of the wedding, but just one of our listeners, Kate says, dreadful, just dreadful. Marriage is where we find our truest selves and purpose, to paraphrase a sappy mouth. Parenthetic nonsense, and it goes downhill from there. I couldn't call it Christless. He got the name checked twice, but crossless, yes. There's a passing reference to God so loving the world that he gave his only son, but for what? To die for our sins? Yes, even the sins of Kate and William together before getting married. What a wasted opportunity. Now, it's that opportunity word that often gets me on the wedding sermon. People say, I think a wedding sermon would be a good opportunity to preach the gospel. I disagree. As though the purpose of the sermon really is to talk about marriage, husband and wife, and life together as husband and wife. And then if you have the opportunity, you could stick Jesus in there. That's not the way the Christian view of marriage is. It begins with Jesus on the cross for us, purchasing his own bridegroom with his blood. Let me put it this way. Whether you're the Bishop of London or whether you're the Archbishop of Canterbury, whether you're the Pope, whether you're any average preacher, the only reason you should ever get into the pulpit and the only reason anyone should ever be listening when a preacher mounts the pulpit is because he is going to preach the gospel, the message of Jesus laying down his perfect life at the cross as the substitute and the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus got mentioned twice, once as kind of God's self-revelation, the second as merely an example, but there was no saving Jesus, sad to say, in that sermon. Church sponsorship and advertising program that we have for our listeners and the congregations that so support Issues Etc. It's called the Issues Etc. 300. July 1st is the budget deadline for many congregations. That means right now they're hashing through budget issues. And the Issues Etc. 300 is all about your congregation, including Issues Etc. in its annual budget to the tune of $1,000 or more. You can find out more about your congregation becoming part of the Issues Etc. 300. Go to issuesetc.org, click support, and you can find out all about the Issues Etc. 300, how your congregation, thinking over its budget, can decide to join today. Tomorrow, we'll discuss the resurrection of Christ according to Mark's Gospel with Dr. Jim Veltz. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.